welcome to Tea and Strumpets, a Regency romance review. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Kelsey.
And Kelsey, we have made it.
We have.
We're at the end of our Pennyroyal journey, and I promised a little story.
Okay. Zoe, please tell the story.
So I have kind of a fun place that I read The Legend of Lion Redman because it happened to be coming out when I was going to be on vacation in Jordan, the country of Jordan. Mm-hmm. And we were going to Petra, I believe, the day after it was released. But, you know, because of midnight release and where I was in the world, it appeared on my Nook, you know, at some point. And I had this like ancient Nook. It was ancient then. Already, it was like the first generation Nook. And so to get on the internet and actually like connect to the Wi-Fi of my hotel in Jordan and get it to download the book, it was a trial is mm-hmm. all I'll say, but I got it done and I was so excited and I was like, I'm going to take a photo of me holding my book like in Petra, which I did. But it's like funny because I'd never taken a picture of a book before. And now like I've taken a ton of pictures of books, you know, against some sort of backdrop for the podcast Instagram. I didn't know that was a thing. And then I think I somehow like tagged Julianne Long on Facebook because I was like, I really want the author to know where I read her book. And I think she liked it. And this is way before we started the podcast.
Oh, this was a long time ago. I remember your picture because you sent it to me.
So yeah, I was really excited to read the book. And so then we were like hiking around Petra, but I like also really wanted to read the book. But I also really wanted to, you know, be a kind traveling companion to my husband, or I guess he was my boyfriend, or he was my boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. Hey, there you go. That's how long ago it was. But I got the book read, and kind of tangential story is that I wasn't feeling very well that whole trip. And I was like bloated and my digestive system wasn't working well. And I just felt really lethargic and icky, but it was fine. I made it all the way up to the monastery in Petra, which is like many, 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 many steps. It was an amazing place to visit. It's very cool. Anyhow, a month later, I had a medical emergency on a plane.
Yeah, that was not scary at all.
Not even a little bit, because I had a very large tumor growing on my liver and it ruptured while in flight. So that is a story for another day.
Oh my God, guys, she told me that story. And I was like, oh, good God, Zoe. Good God.
Yes. It ended happily ever after. Yeah. All is well with me. So I'll say that. But I am just so thankful that my unknown tumor didn't decide to rupture on a mountaintop in remote Jordan.
There you go. Great. It did on a plane on the way to the U.S. Great.
On the way to the U.S. Yes. Thank goodness. I ended up back in my home city. Almost. Very close. And was able to get, you know, medical care in a place that I understood the language and in a really top-notch facility. So anyhow, lucky me in a lot of ways. And maybe one day if we have a Patreon and there's like a real clamoring for Zoe's liver surgery story, then we can record that. But it's a lot. And
I think you should dig up the picture you took, though, of the book. And that should be our weekly post picture for this.
Most definitely. I am going to put that up. So if you want to see that picture, everyone, I will post it the day after this episode comes out. So the Friday of this episode. So keep your eyes peeled for that picture. It's a good one, if mm-hmm. I do say so myself.
Yes. Okay. So if anyone hasn't figured it out yet, because we haven't named the book, we are going to be talking about The Legend of Lion Redman by Julianne Long.
Such a good name. Are you kidding me? Like, the series culminates in this book of this couple that you've been waiting for the whole series. And then it's called The Legend of Lion Redman. It's so good. Ugh. You've got the alliteration of mm-hmm. legend and lion. And then you have the legend with the D and the Redmond with the D. Mm. It's like Mwah, chef's kiss.
Yes. And this book, you know, when you get to the last culmination book of a series, especially for a character you've been dying to know about, sometimes it can be a little hit or miss.
Agreed.
Well, I think this was a hit personally, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes. I can't wait to dig in because I will say I had some very different reading experiences of this book because I've only read it twice, mm-hmm. the time I talked about and now. And I definitely have some different opinions. So I'm excited to get into our discussion later.
This is a third read for me, only because when we decided to start our Penny Royal Green journey, I decided to reread this book.
Really?
Yeah. So I reread it. I didn't reread any of the others. I just reread this one. And then I obviously read it the first time and then this time again to refresh since we started our journey so long ago. And I do not really have any author facts or history facts. My author fact is that there is kind of a spin-off novella that takes place in modern day, and it's called Malcolm and Isabel, and Penny Royal Today is kind of the thing. And it's really, it's a fun little read, and you'll learn more. Like in the epilogue, these two characters come into play, and I actually read it not that long ago. And it was actually quite fun to read because you get to hear a bit of history and then, you know, but at the same time, it's its own modern day romance. So if anyone is interested, I highly suggest you check it out.
That's so cool. I'm so glad you read it. I was like, as I got to the end of this one and I was reading the epilogue, I was like, oh, it's too bad that I didn't think to read that and see what it was like. I didn't get to it.
It's cute. I suggest it. Go for it.
I mean, we know that we love Julianne Long's writing, so she has not steered us wrong yet. This book has a couple of tropes, though. We have lost love and then family enemies, you know, the Montagues and the Capulets.
Yes. Star-crossed lovers.
Exactly.
So our main characters today are Miss Olivia Eversee and Mr. Lion Redmond.
So we have a quick note before we get into our synopsis. This book is written by switching back and forth from past to present. So as you read it, you're kind of flipping and you're learning more about the characters. But for our synopsis, we've decided not to go into in chronological order because that would have made it a lot more complicated to do. So this is a little bit less confusing for a shortened synopsis. So, shall we get into it?
We shall. Olivia Eversee and Lion Redmond met at a local Sussex ball. Lion took one look at Olivia and promptly stole her from her next partner. He was unaware she was an Eversee, and even after he found out, it did not matter.
Their courtship was electric and mainly consisted of Lion meeting Olivia on her way to the Duffy family every Tuesday, as was her assignment for the Society for the Sussex Poor.
There was nothing wild in the courtship, no secret kissing, no wild proclamations, just a boy and girl meeting and getting to know each other better.
Things came to a head when Lion was due to go to London to give a proposal to the Mercury Club. Before he left, he tried to give Olivia a pair of gloves she had mentioned admiring at Postlethwaite's. Olivia, though, was a thinker and did not accept them with joy. Quote, "But I can't keep these, Lion. What am I to do with these? I can't wear them in public. I can't do anything at all with you in public. How will I explain how I came to have them? What were you thinking?"
Olivia quickly leaves and Lion is flummoxed. Lion continues to think about this event while in London and eventually convinces his father that he is going to cut his trip short by a week. When Olivia sees him, she is ecstatic and immediately gives him a miniature of herself as an apology for not being more thankful for the gloves.
Our couple finally have their first kiss and it is electrifying. And oh, how does Lion want to do more beneath Olivia's skirts? But as he is a gentleman, he does not.
Later that week, Olivia finds out that she has been moved by Mrs. Sneath to a new family to deliver food to. It turns out that it was noticed that Olivia was in the presence of a young man, and her family intervened to have her charity assignment changed.
Through some clandestine dropping of prayer books, Olivia lets Lion know she has been assigned to a new family while at church. However, it turns out that Lion had already figured out this information and has given her a new spot to meet him in.
The next week, Lion is there and shows Liv a clearing he knows about. She is enchanted, and our young, lovesick main characters have a very staid coming together through clothes. Lion gives Liv her first orgasm, and he, very gentlemanly, comes in his trousers.
That evening, Lion goes to his father to tell him that he wishes to marry Olivia Eversy. Isaiah Redman responds, as we have come to expect. He tells Lion he may marry Olivia, but he will be cut off from everything. His funds, the Mercury Club, and his entire family. He will be allowed no contact.
Lion wastes no time and rushes to Olivia's house in the middle of the night. He asks her to come away with him immediately. He is not going to give in to his father, and if it's just the two of them, then he can be happy.
Olivia, though, is taken aback. She hates being told what to do, and while she wants to be with Lion, how can he ask this of her with no notice? She would have to leave her family, too.
So Olivia says the words that everyone has been speculating on all these years. What am I afraid of? You're asking me to leave everything and everyone I know behind right now. And how on earth would we survive? What kind of life will we have? I will take care of you, Liv. He was so certain she almost capitulated, but fear had momentum. How? What way? What on earth do you know how to do? Shall I go out to work? How on earth will we live on nothing at all? I've seen how the Duffys live, Lion, and it's hardly life at all. If they loved each other ever, it was killed long ago. What if loving you is what I do best? She opened her eyes, she looked at him, standing in the rain amid the wreckage of their dreams, and said, "Then I pity you." He jerked, as surely as if she'd sunk a blade right into his heart. And then she'd never seen anyone so still. His face was ghost white, even in the lamplight. She shook his coat from her shoulders and seized the lamp. Then she ran back into the house, her feet skidding along the wet ground as if fleeing the scene of a murder. It might as well have been her own.
So now we move to the present day, where Lion Redman has just received notice from LaVey about Olivia Eversy's impending nuptials. At first, he's determined to leave England, as was his plan, and yet he has done nothing but think of Olivia from the moment he left Pennyroyal Green. So he tells his crew they shall be staying in England for a bit longer.
Olivia Eversy is currently in London preparing for her upcoming wedding. While she is confident that she has chosen the right man for her, she still cannot help but be a little disinterested in the wedding preparation. What does it matter if her dress is trimmed in silver or beads? Does it really matter at all?
To top things off, she's a bit overrun with thoughts of Lion Redman, the man who left. Even while trying to put thoughts of him aside, the world continues to conspire against her. Outside the dressmaker's shop, there is a chorus who is singing a brand new song entitled "The Legend of Lion Redman." Then later, she enters her favorite tea shop, only to find the place overrun with cartoon depictions of the artists imagining Lion Redman's adventures. In both the song and the cartoons, Olivia is not portrayed in a flattering light. She is the uppity society girl who drove the Tun's golden boy to parts unknown.
As the wedding continues to approach, Olivia is getting more and more anxious. It is all becoming a bit much. So when a letter arrives from Mrs. Hannah Moore, one of Olivia's abolitionist heroes, asking her to come to a conference for a couple weeks, Olivia convinces her family that she must go.
However, when Olivia arrives at the inn where she is to meet Mrs. Moore, she discovers the last person she expects to see, Lion Redman. He has sent the letter to lure Olivia away from her family so the two of them can have the reckoning they both deserve.
Lion says, though, that this reckoning will not happen at the inn. Olivia must accompany him to his ship. She agrees, drawn by the man she never expected to see again.
And once on the ship, they actually set sail. Olivia is extremely frustrated by his high-handedness, but is a little less annoyed when they arrive in a secluded spot in Spain.
Lion has taken her to one of his houses. In fact, it is exactly the house he described to her when they were first getting to know each other. An elegant house with just a few nice pieces of furniture where sunlight can pour into the house. Quote, "She held still, suffused with wonder and a peculiar peace and sense of rightness in this house. It was a strangely familiar sensation." And then she recalled the first time she had felt that way. It was when he first approached her in the ballroom. as if the fences surrounding her world had been kicked down.
The two finally have a chance to talk that first night. They go for a walk on the beach. Lion tells her where he has been, what he has accomplished, and asks why she did not believe in him. She tells him that she had no idea he would leave that night. She was just young and scared by the sudden demand that she leave all she had known behind with no plan at all. And Lion acknowledges that though he did not have the right to push her, he also was devastated that she did not choose him.
The next few days are spent in a magical fashion. Lion takes her to a beautiful waterfall where their instant attraction leads to a full-blown encounter. Lion cannot resist Olivia, and Olivia cannot resist the kisses of the man who has always set her blood on fire. They make love next to the waterfall, and then proceed to have a few other encounters in their Spanish paradise.
However, their time together was always finite, and eventually the ship comes to take Olivia back to England. She looks to Lion and realizes that he is not returning with her. He tells her that she must remember her code, but he cannot return to life in England, in which she does not willingly choose him. Quote, he watched her as they rowed out, and he watched her grow smaller and smaller, and he prayed, and he held his breath, but she did it. She got on the ship. She got on the bloody ship. She never once looked back. Ah, she certainly knew how to punish him. He dropped to his knees on the sand and blew out a long breath, wrapping his folded hands across the back of his head.
Olivia arrives home and is swept into the wedding frenzy. People are arriving, the dress is finished, and before she knows it, the day has arrived and she is standing at the altar with Lansdowne.
Lansdowne says his I do's. But when Adam turns to Olivia and asks if she will love and obey until death do they part, Olivia, to the shock of everyone, says that she cannot. To say I do would be a lie. She cannot promise to love and cherish because that would be a lie, and her code in life was never to lie.
As she apologizes, she turns to leave and sees a homeless man at the back of the church stand up. He begins to unwind bandages from his face, and there, for all of Pennyroyal Green to see, is Lion Redmond. He silently turns and leaves the church. Olivia, without any hesitation, runs after him.
When she finds him in the bell tower, quote, those were the worst few moments of my life. His voice was husky. She wasn't ready to forgive him, or to speak, or to do anything but keep him in sight lest he disappear again, because she had come to claim him now. They were also the best moments of my life, he added. I should have known I would go to the ends of the earth for you. I was born loving you, and no matter what, I would have fought for you. Yes, the words she should have said to him so many years ago. Yes, I'll go with you. Yes, I'll be with you. Yes, I believe in you. Yes, you are my life and my love and my destiny, of course. I love you, she added hurriedly, because she'd longed to say it to him and she couldn't wait a moment longer. I always have. I always will.
Back in the church, all hell breaks loose, and Adam Slavine calmly holds the crowds at bay and then sends them all home. After the last of the wedding goers leave, Adam heads to the bell tower where he finds Olivia and Lion giggling and whispering to each other as if no time had ever passed. After the two chat and make plans for their own wedding, Lion goes to see his family.
He confronts his father, who is just overwhelmed with having his son back, but also has to confront the man that Lion has become. Lion tells his father how he learned who was behind the Triangle Trade Drayek Group, and it wasn't Jacob Eversey. It was Isaiah Redmond. Quote, I won't tell you how I learned it, but I undertook to seek out the source for the woman I love. As you know, it's one of the things she feels most passionately about. It's a part of her heart, as I am. I feel passionately about it as well, and I can't imagine that even you condone the practice of slavery, not even for profit.
Walking out on his father, Lion goes to see his siblings, which he was a little hesitant to do, but luckily, siblings are your siblings. Quote, if anyone in the room had harbored any lingering resentment about Lion's disappearance and the crushing confusion and pain of his loss, it was instantly drowned by the superior power of love and gratitude and the sheer rightness of having Lion here again. And now that they were older and each of them had fallen in love, they understood more fully why Lion had to do what he'd done, and relationships could shift and flow to allow him back in.
And lastly, Lion sees his mother, quote, it wasn't until he met with his mother alone, and she folded him in her arms that Lion Redman finally wept. For all that he knew, and all that he was certain she knew and understood, and because he loved and had missed his mother.
The following Sunday, we have the wedding of Lion and Olivia. No more bets could be placed, and the whole town marches out to see the legendary couple themselves. Quote, "And it might have been the misty morning. The little church might have seemed as dark and soft as a womb, but everyone said the bride's and groom's faces were so radiant they could have read aloud by them."
And there is an epilogue of sorts. It is 2015, and we learn that Lion and Olivia had kids and were extremely happy. All of the siblings had wonderful lives and had offspring that populated the world. They also achieved massive successes, which we learn courtesy of a Redmond relative in 2015 who has Olivia's journal recounting her life with her one and only true love. So, on that ending, shall we adjourn to the parlor?
We shall.
So, listeners, today here in the parlor, I just would like to say that if you would like to find us elsewhere other than here on the podcast and in your ears, you can find us on social media at Instagram at T as in Tom, N as in Nancy Strumpets. Same thing on Twitter, Facebook / TN Strumpets, and of course, YouTube by searching our name.
And if you're listening to us on YouTube, now is a great time to click that thumbs up and hit subscribe before you forget. Liking and commenting on our videos and subscribing to our channel is a really wonderful way to let us know that you like what we're doing.
And we also have something special each month for our email subscribers. You can subscribe to our email list on our website. And if you do that, you're going to be the first to know what we're reading each month. Each month, you'll get all sorts of little extras, including exclusive content from each of the authors who join us on the podcast. Our website is romancepod.com, and there you can find episodes, more information about us, and other resources, so be sure to take a look.
Finally, please feel free to rate, review, and tell a friend. Reviews on Apple Podcasts, Facebook, or anywhere else you can review us really help other listeners find the podcast, and word of mouth is one of the best ways that podcasts get found. And we would appreciate it if you could help spread the word.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is going to be our last Pennyroyal.
I know.
Oh, okay.
A little bittersweet, well, but that's okay.
Yeah, we did it. I mean, I'm very proud of us. Pat on the back.
I know.
You know, we'll talk about this more in our Ask a Strumpet episode and, you know, what series we're going to do next and everything. But sometimes people start podcasts and they're a lot of work.
Yeah, right.
And often not a lot of rewards. So following through with podcast stuff is, I think, impressive. I'm so impressed by all the podcasts I listen to now more than ever.
Oh, yeah. And I really appreciate that we decided to take on an 11-book challenge right when we started without knowing how many other amazing books there were out there.
Right.
Start with this and then we'll do Bridgerton. And then it's let's get completely sidetracked with all these other amazing books that we can't even tell you about all of them because there's not enough time in the day.
What a great problem to have.
Yes.
So this book. Kelsey, what were your general thoughts?
You know, it's really funny because my first read through, I felt slightly disappointed. Mm-hmm. But I think more it was just because it was a lot of the back and forth. And I really just wanted to fixate on the coming together, you know, mm-hmm. and because there was the back and forth in the reading, which we chose not to do in our synopsis. I kind of felt that almost distracted from that because I just wanted to get to the reunion and the reckoning and the two of them seeing each other mm-hmm. again for the first time. And in fact, in the present day, it's all the way halfway through the book before they actually see each other again for the first time in 5 years. So
yeah,
it's a long time to get to that point. However, I will say upon second reading, much more enjoyable. And third reading, extra enjoyable. I read it so quickly. And to the point where, guys, and I will say this, I was doing the synopsis and I was making sure I could get the quotes because I thought, like, there's so many beautiful quotes in this book. Like,
so many
beautiful quotes. Like, I highlighted so many things I didn't even put in here. And then when I was putting the quotes in, I had to go back and pick them out again because I just felt they kept the story long. And the last bit where they are like, you know, like he leaves her in Spain and they're talking after the wedding. And there's like, I was literally in tears just reading them to put them into the synopsis. I literally started crying because I was like, it's so beautiful. I was like, Lion and Olivia, oh my God, they're so meant for each other. And I was literally sitting there and I was like, I'm really hoping no one walks in right now because they're just going to see me typing on my computer in tears and they're going to think something's really wrong with me.
I think everything is right with you. The fact that you know, we're moved by beautiful things. I think that's part of what makes us human. But we're not here to be too philosophical. I'm going to agree with everything you had to say. I think the first time I read it, I was let down. Mm-hmm. I was like, really? That's how this ends?
Yeah. Now. And you didn't even get an epilogue, really, because you just get that epilogue that's like all the way
that's
in the future.
Else.
And you're like, that's not what I wanted to read. But upon reading it later on, I was like, it's great.
I had the same feeling. So I basically I also wasn't feeling very well at the time that I read this book. So maybe that had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it this time around. In fact, like I was not looking forward to rereading this book because I've been kind of on a roll of finding books that I really like. And then I was reading one that I slowed down for. And then I was like, now I have to read this other book that I'm just not that enthusiastic about. And yet I read it really fast. And I really enjoyed it. Like, it is a beautiful book and the characters are really beautiful. And what's interesting is that I think we come into this book, certainly, I don't know, I don't think we as readers like Olivia.
No, I don't think we really do like Olivia all that much coming into it. But I think upon reflection, especially going back and rereading all the series, you know, you kind of see the moments where Olivia starts to shine a little bit more. I don't know. I think that upon rereading everything, and we can talk about this more in our like recap of Penny Royal Green.
Yeah.
But I feel like upon reading it and knowing kind of where it ends, I can see the little tidbits of Olivia that make you want to admire her and like her and feel a bit sad for her.
Oh, absolutely. I think that all the characterizations we get of Olivia up to this book, what you read in this book really does make sense.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And you have pity for her then at those points. I mean, you also realize how young she is, etc. But I also don't think we really like Lion coming up to this book. He's a bit of an enigma.
Mm-hmm. And we don't really know him except for like that brief kind of scene we see of him in Violet's book.
And he's heavy-handed.
And he's heavy-handed and she's like chasing after him. And he has really become, and even upon reading this book, when you first kind of see him in the present day, you know, the kind of good thing about the back and forth is you got to like young Lion, you know, optimistic, yes, in love Lion. And then when you see him being high-handed with Olivia later on and being the heart, like, and he has learned, like, I mean, he's a dreaded pirate. Like, he's not actually like a kind-hearted, you know, soul. He's actually like a very fierce guy whose his name actually struck fear in people's hearts, you know? And yet when you see him act, you know, tough with Olivia and, you know, really pushing her, like not pushing her away, but being like, we're going to have our reckoning, you know? You can understand why he wants it. Like, this girl devastated him.
Oh, she did. But what I love about it overall is that you really get closure on every argument of each character.
100%. And I think that And I was rereading this and I thought to myself, and I was like, ah, yes, they have an open and honest conversation. Like, this book didn't drag on because it was misunderstandings. Like, the time that they are actually put together, and the whole reason Lion took them away to Spain was so, like, they just had each other and they could actually talk it out with each other. And, like, really get to know one another again, essentially.
And I think maybe upon first reading and after waiting, you know, years for the book to come out, that back and forth and the flashbacks and the kind of waiting makes it almost feel like there's misunderstandings because their whole relationship was a misunderstanding, or it's a big question mark. We don't know why, or we don't know exactly what happened to them. Mm-hmm. So like you're waiting. So I think upon first read, that's why that can feel frustrating. But then when you come back to it, or maybe if you don't have to wait years for it, you just get to read the series all the way through. Mm-hmm. So the pace is a little faster for you. It's so beautifully like knit together, you know, it like is. It all makes sense. You kind of just, you agree. So should we go ahead?
Sorry. Yeah, and it is so beautifully knit together. And the thing that I like about it, too, is it's not like the flashbacks are like, oh, here's one chapter flashback. Here's one chapter present day. You know, it kind of jumps back and forth, almost like, you know, Olivia's kind of remembering times at some stages. And then also when it gets to the point where they, like, have their, like, he has this confrontation with his father and then asks Olivia to leave. Like, that's, like, two chapters worth of stuff. And she doesn't switch back in between. She's like, no, this is important. I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to drag it out. We're just going to discuss it so that way we can fully come to present. But it's nice because then they can fully – the flashbacks stop right before Olivia and Lion meet again in present day. So then you just have their reckoning from it. Afterwards, like, you don't have to flashback anymore. So I actually appreciated how the flashbacks were done, the second or third time around.
I think this book is set up to be things that I don't like with characters that I don't feel confident about coming into it, and it proves its worth and the character's worth to me as a reader over and over again. And it's just, it's like beautiful. I don't know how else to describe it. There's this kind of like euphoric, like relaxation of my shoulders that kind of comes after reading it, you know? And there's definitely like warmth in your heart. And they are definitely people who you fall in love with during this book.
Yes, absolutely. And there is, you know, there's a lot of, you see the whole families at play in it too, not just in the present day, but in the past too. You know, you see how the siblings all ended up. And I love that moment when Lion goes to his siblings and he is a little bit nervous because he doesn't know how they're going to react to him. And yet they immediately are like, you know, you're our brother, it's fine. And that whole point of like, they have found people to love and they each had to go through their own issues to fight for that person so they can understand why Lion felt he had to leave. Because each one of his siblings, you know, except for Violet, both Miles and Jonathan, basically, Miles was essentially outcast from the family to a certain extent. And Jonathan refused because he was like, that's not how we're going to live anymore. Otherwise, I will leave just like Lion left and you won't have another son. And so, you know, they could really
flourish.
Yeah, and flourish. And this, yeah, no, exactly. That was a good way to say it. And I just love that it was, and I just love that he saw his mom and just cried. Like, yeah, it's all good. And then he saw his mom and he's like, Mom.
Well, and it's crazy because he's only been gone 5 years, which seems, I would say, a little bit probably the biggest weakness of the book, that he's done so much in 5 years and it's only been 5 years of them being apart. It feels like it should be more. It feels like it should be like 7, 8, 9, 10 years. But also then 10 years apart seems really long. I think one of Kerrigan Burns, the Duke with the Dragon Tattoo, they're apart for what, 20 years or something?
Oh, yeah, something like that, yeah.
It's, I mean, it was, or almost 15. Like, I
can't, it was like a really long time. This. I was like, how old are these people?
But So I would say like that's, it's amazing what he's done in 5 years. And 5 years is not that long of a time to be apart from someone. You know, there are friends who I haven't seen in 5 years because we live in different continents, you know, but
yeah.
So I think that that helped with his reunion. But it also, I think if I had to say, you know, what I think the weakness of the book was, 5 years seemed awfully short, but it's a book.
Yes. And it's a book. Yeah. And I think through rereading of it, like when we first started rereading things, like I was trying to figure out exactly how long Lyne was away. Because for all these things to happen in 5 years, that's a lot of things to happen.
All of the Pennyroyal weddings, all of them in 5 years.
All of them happened in 5 years. But I think too, you know, they all happen, you know, simultaneously, quickly. And at the same time too, I think that it needed to be that shorter period of time, because then it would have been, like you said, that then it's too much time. Too many things could have happened then, you know? He's done a lot in 5 years, but what more could he have done and still been together with this woman?
Yeah. So there's definitely some, there's definitely like, it's not a big deal that it was only 5 years. I'm just like, you know, if I had to pick something, right?
Yeah.
But how about we get a little bit more granular on our hero and heroine? Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Olivia.
All right. Well, what do you think about Olivia?
I think that Olivia, it's really interesting because I felt that, like you said before, like she wasn't always super likable in the other books and she seemed really hard. And I think that you kind of got a better understanding of her devastation after Lyne left, but also just how young she was. And she even thinks about it, you know, at a time. And I think at one point she even tells Lyne, like, going back, like, knowing what I know now, I probably still would have said no that night simply because I was too young. Like, I was too young. Like, you had, you know, he's a couple years older than her. He'd been to college. Mm-hmm. He was already investing money, but she hadn't even had her come out yet. Like, she hadn't actually even had her season in London.
Yeah, she was a child.
She was a child. And so, yes, she loved him. But to be put in the position of going completely into the unknown with a guy who didn't actually have a plan, was just like, yeah, we'll figure it out. She's like, yeah, no, I can't do that. Like, how can you ask me to do that on the fly? You know? And so you felt a little bit more sympathy for her and her, like, decision to make, you know, and her decision that she made.
Yes, I completely agree. I think that her character, you know, blossoms in this book because you actually get to hear from her. In most of the other books, it's her receiving flowers and it's her, you know, you see things that happen to her and you maybe see her reaction, but you don't get a lot of dialogue. So she's very, she's kind of a blank slate and her actions make her seem cold because she's sad and she's standoffish, you know, but yeah, I think she really blossoms in this book as a character. There are a few things about her character that I still found like a little bit irritating, even though like, you know, her big thing is that she doesn't like being told what to do. Now there's a lot of ways in which I love this, right? Because like feminism and that time period, women, you know, standing up for themselves and refusing to go along with what other people tell them, that's like a huge theme in historical romance.
Yeah.
But Olivia is like very flat, very one note, don't tell me what to do. If you tell me what to do, I will go against it. And to me,
agreed.
Like, That isn't a great quality in a person when they're like, I just won't be told. I will not do it. If you tell me to do it, if you say don't jump off that cliff, I will jump off the cliff because you told me not to. Like that to me, it doesn't endear them to me.
Agreed. And I think that, you know, some of her decisions, either with Lyne or even when they come to their reckoning, like she's, you know, she is, you know, shocked to see him, could be elated to see him, but then instantly he's like telling her what to do and she's like, the fuck, man, you know? And I'm like, stick with the elated quality, Olivia. Like I get he's being high-handed, but at the same time too, you haven't seen him in 5 years and like you broke his heart, he broke yours. Like, I think we can understand his high-handedness right now.
I think that Olivia's refusal to do what she is told to do is a character device to endear her to Lion, right? Because Lion mm-hmm. has basically had the whole world at his fingertips and everybody does his bidding and he's so charming. And he liked that Olivia challenged him. Mm-hmm. He liked that she didn't just bend to his will. But I think that there's maybe a more nuanced way to do that rather than literally her constantly saying, I don't like to be told what to do.
Yeah.
It just sounds very like, it's just on the surface, irritating. And then it makes sense for her character, right? Because she doesn't want to be told to leave, but also she's scared. And it seems juvenile, this don't tell me what to do. I don't want to leave. Like, don't just tell me we're leaving. And then, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. seems juvenile. And then it makes sense in that time. But I don't see that evolution through the book. You know, in the 5 years, mm-hmm. she's still like, tightens up when she's told what to do.
Yeah.
And so that was like, that was a point that like every now and then I'd be like falling in love with Olivia. And then she would kind of have one of those moments that I would be like, oh, come on, girl. Like,
yeah,
you know, you don't have to do that anymore.
No, I would agree. And I think that there were some, you know, naive qualities and other things about her that kind of stopped me from loving her the way I started to, you know?
Yes. Regardless, I still think she's very strong. And there's so much interesting about her, even though I really, you know, talked a lot about all of that that I didn't like just now. I want to give Olivia... Oh, I'm so torn. Okay, I think I'm going to give her a 7.5.
Cool. I was just going to give her an 8.
I was teetering on the edge, but I think coming away from it, stepping back, I think I'm feeling more a 7.5. So a good/great character.
Absolutely.
But not someone that is one of my favorite heroines.
Agreed. And that's totally fine. Now let's talk about Lion.
He's very handsome. Very dashing.
He's very handsome and dashing.
Very great at planning and strategy and subterfuge. Mm-hmm. I think he also suffers from, you know, some childish qualities of impulsivity and, oh God, there's a great quote. I'll try to find it before the end of our discussion on Lion, where he just kind of has always had privilege. And it's just this great quote that Julianne Long put in there that almost made me love him more. And I really love how it was important to him to have Olivia choose him, right? Mm-hmm. This time he was like, he didn't make this crazy plot of like, she has
I'm gonna
to
make
come
her love me again.
Yeah. Or she has to come, you know, do this quest in order to get me. All she had to do was choose him. And he said, like, the book says, I think there's a quote of something of like, he would make it easy for her to catch him. Like mm-hmm. he wasn't going to make it so that she had to like never, she wouldn't be able to find him. Right. It was just, she had to choose him and mm-hmm. then she would be able to find him.
Yes.
So I appreciated that. Gosh, he's a real sweetheart, isn't he?
He really is. And, but this is the thing too. It's like, you see young Lion and he is like all optimism and love and joy and, you know, truly a kind person. And then he comes up, but he still wants to please his father. And yet he does feel the stress of being like the heir. And so I think, you know, I think that he and his father were always going to have something that tore them apart. Because I think he was a strong enough individual that was going to happen. And it happened over Olivia, which makes sense. And yet when you meet Lion again, it's very interesting because he's like, when she first sees him, it's like, oh God, this is going to go terribly. He's going to be rude to her. He's going to be a brute. And then, but he's not. He's very like, he's still kind and caring. And again, I just like the way that the line for me that was is he got the note about her wedding and he honestly wasn't even sure he wanted to see her again.
Mm-hmm.
Because there had been so much. And if she was so much had happened and she really did break his heart. And yet he'd longed for her all this time. I mean, he named his ship after her.
Yeah.
And he'd done all these things because of, you know, the things she cared about. As far as catching slave ships and, you know, doing all of that. And yet when it comes time for her to marry, he's like, I don't even know if I want to see her. But, you know, there was still that quality. And it was, and part of it, he's like, I just didn't even know the person you were anymore. And I wasn't sure I wanted to find out. Because he didn't know if he was going to like that person again. Or even if he did like her, what was he going to do about it? So he kind of, you know, did his subterfuge. And then he did decide to meet with her. So he got her there. And I just like the way, because he, like you said, though, he was a sweetheart. He was never mean. He was never unkind. And even when they go to bathe and he's like, don't look at her. She's under the waterfall. Don't think about it. Like, I'm trying to be a gentleman. And then he's like, you know, and then he breaks. But that's okay. It was a cute little moment.
She says yes.
Yes. Well, exactly.
She loses her soap. And then he's like, do you want me to bring it to you? And she says, yes. And then actually the quote that I was talking about comes right after that.
Okay.
And it is, he went to her immediately and without another word. And then here's the quote. He never second-guessed decisions. It was a quality he'd inherited from his father, born of arrogance and privilege, tempered through one test after another over the last few years. I mean, like, I love that. He's like, he is cis straight white man. He's born in arrogance and privilege, and he doesn't second guess himself because of those things. Mm. But like the way she puts it together, it's
tempered through the years, you know, like, again, he's not forcing her hand. He's offering her his hand. And if she wants to take it, he'll be there.
Oh, for sure. I don't find that high-handed
at all.
No,
I don't find that. But I mean, like, his whole thing. And then even after you said, like, she leaves him and he's like, he'd be close by in case she needed him, you know? Like, he wasn't just going to let her go without being nearby. But so for me, I'll give Lion an 8 as well.
I think Lion's an 8 for me, too. He's fabulous, but he doesn't have the things that I...
Yeah.
Feel for like a 10. I think, you know, each of us have, I don't know. I'm making qualifications again. It doesn't matter. He's an 8 to me.
He's an 8 to me.
We make up these numbers anyway.
I feel like he could have been a 10 had we had a really long adventure scene in the middle of this, you know, where he gets to do heroic deeds. But we didn't have that. So for the book that we read, he's an 8.
Yeah, I think that there's also a weakness in like he's been this marauding pirate for so long and there's kind of no wrap up to his triangle trade shenanigans, really. And
yeah, he
so
kind of like bows out and then isn't heard from again.
It's finished and he sells his ship.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel finished necessarily. But again, I'm getting into the nitty gritty. I suppose that's what we do here on this podcast. But I really want to talk about our quotes because this book was a beautiful, like a beautiful. I'm going to say 20 quotes. I think I'm going to say 20. Like, go ahead first, though. You've got one.
Oh, my God. I found the quote. I found the quote where he says he's going to be there.
Oh,
so I'm going to read this for both our sakes.
Share it.
Because he did know what he'd wanted to know. He knew now he would be willing to follow her to the ends of the earth, but he wasn't going to do that. And he knew that she loved him, but he wasn't going to lead her to that conclusion. He wanted her desperately, in every way, forever. But she needed to fight for him. And in the end, she needed to unequivocally choose him, for her own sake, and for his. Oh, he would be damned if he'd chase her again. He would, however, make it possible for her to catch him.
Oh, so good. It's so good. I'm so glad that you found that one because that's such a beautiful moment also of them. They've had this reckoning and then he's like sending her off. And as a reader, you're like, wait, what? But as soon as he said it, as soon as it's explained like that, you go like, well, I agree, Lion.
I agree because exactly. It can't be a matter of him forcing her to like choose him. And I like that he doesn't demand it because he knows her. He knows that if he demand her do something right then and there, she's going to be like, stop telling me what to do, you know? But as you said, he can lead her to the well, but it's her choice if she wants to drink from it.
For sure. So I think we should talk about some of our favorite quotes in general.
Yes.
I'm going to share a bunch because there's so many beautiful ones and we had a little shorter synopsis and so we didn't share as many there. Mm-hmm. So I think we should share everything we think is beautiful and want to.
Oh God, there's so many beautiful things. All right, Zoe, yes. You start us off. We'll go back and forth.
All right. So one of the first ones I have is fairly early on. And it is Olivia is talking to the dressmaker who actually is one of Lion's people. Mm-hmm. But she's asking her, what her life was like, if, who her mister was. And the person tells her that, she had been married before and now was widowed. And Olivia says well, surely you're young, you can get married again. And the quote is, "Perhaps, but my heart, she cannot seem to see anyone else." Mm. Oh God, Olivia wondered what her life would be like if she'd ever dared to explain that to her family that way. My heart. She cannot seem to see anyone else.
Ugh. It's just
my heart.
Yeah. Well, that leads perfectly into my quote, Zoe. This one's later on. Mm-hmm. And I just really loved it and identified with it. And here we go. This is when they're in Spain. And Olivia thinks, "He was her best friend. She was again reminded that every single thing, from the profound to the mundane, was better when Lion was added to it."
Ugh. They are so in love.
They are. Here's another one. "On the other hand, surely nothing could be more mundane, for there would be no myths, no operas, no plays, no flash ballads, if men and women before them too hadn't performed this particular fruitless pas de deux over and over since the beginning of time."
Very, very good. Well, I have one towards the end. It is in the homecoming scene when Lion gets handed baby Ruby, Violet's baby, for the first time. And it says, "Welcome home, Redmond." He handed the baby to him, and Lion took her as if she were an egg. He could tell Ruby was born to break hearts, a tiny, snoozing, velvety pale thing with the most shockingly miniature eyelashes. He thought the first heart she might break would be his.
I love it.
I'm sorry. I'm just that one got me almost crying.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you.
I have one more, and I think we'll find it's a good one to end with.
Great.
Because it's what Lion says when he first sees Olivia. So I think we'll end with this quote, which is, "That smile. It was like walking through a door into a world he'd never suspected existed. He understood all at once the word joy and why it was so small, just three letters. It was as simple and profound as a sudden flame in the dark."
I remember that sentence so well. It was such a moment. All of her writing in this book is just this culmination of a story that she's been waiting to write for 11 books. And like you said at the beginning of our discussion, sometimes, all of that anticipation doesn't yield a good project. But this is such a love letter, to Lion and Olivia. Oh,
it really is.
It's really beautiful.
I know. Now you can see why I cried when I was rereading the end quotes. Okay.
All right, well, let's get steamy.
Okay. So steaminess rating. I felt there was some good steam there.
Yes. The sex on the beach, the waterfall and the pool and the private beach and the being so un-English and lying in the sand together.
But even the first, so I counted our first encounter as when they had been making out and they joined and Lion was like, "I can't reach under her skirts," but God, if he can't friction between them with the clothes in between them, enough to make them both come. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was steamy. And let's be real. We've all been there when we first, met someone and you're like, "I don't want to take it all the way." But I felt it was something we could all relate to.
No, absolutely. Even the scenes where they didn't touch each other, but, you know, it was all above the clothes, were steamy. And there was something really like sweet in a not chaste way about it. Like it was very relatable and very sweet. And I think this was a hot cup of a very good tea that you didn't expect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, when you just get, for me, it's like when I just get the like tea to milk ratio just right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, so I got it brewed just the right long enough time. I've got just enough milk in there. So I got all the good flavors and none of the bitterness, and it's nice and hot. That's what it is to me. Our encounter counter was like 6+ because there was, when they were in Spain, guys, there was like boom, 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 boom. It's like we got nothing and then we got a lot. And then there was like a last one in the clearing leading up to their wedding, you know, but there was no details. They just were like, for nostalgia's sake, they made love in the clearing.
Yeah. So this will be an interesting one. Our feminist recap. I kind of feel like this book is somewhere neutral plus to me. I think this book is more about Lion and Olivia than breaking down barriers.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think Olivia is a feminist. She's an abolitionist. Lion is an abolitionist. You know, they're fighting for the good of other people. I had some moments where I would kind of like question the way that I felt reading about two privileged, rich white people trying to help poor black people, you know? But then I was also like, well, but rich white people enslaved everybody. Like, rich white people have to also stand up and say, we can't do this. And for the people who don't have a voice.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the rich white people saying, we can't do this, you know.
Then we might still do this. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I had moments where I was like, are there ever going to be moments that are written in this book that don't feel current, like that it doesn't quite hold up? But I didn't have any of those moments. So
no, and I would say that I would agree, like neutral / supporter, because like I said, Olivia is very feminist, and the thing is, Lion likes the fact that she can be like, he always sees her as a partner. You know, he's never just overwhelmed by her beauty and wants to put her on a pedestal. Like you said, he likes that she challenges him. He loves that about her. He loves that they can have an argument, but then also talk about their favorite things. And so I would say that there wasn't anything like, I would say that was very negative.
Yeah.
There was nothing super offender. But again, like you said, this wasn't really about making a statement. This was about telling a love story.
Yeah, I think Olivia's whole, like I said at the beginning, her whole thing about, you know, I don't like to do what I'm told. I think that that is part of her feminism.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not my favorite way of getting your voice heard and being feminist. But I guess, you know, in certain situations, you have to do what works for you. And apparently that is what worked for Olivia. So regardless, I think this book is somewhere in the neutral to supporter range. And we both agree.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right. Now we're on to our final book rating.
Okay. I didn't think I was going to like this book. I did like this book. I think it's really beautiful. I think that it's well crafted, the story. I think that it actually puts a cherry on top of the Pennyroyal series.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great things to say about it. I think it's a good to great book. Mm-hmm. It is not my favorite book.
That's okay. It doesn't have to be. We've read a lot of books since then.
Yes. And so I give this book an 8.
That's okay. I'm going to give it an 8.5 because I will say it gets better with each rereading.
Aww.
So, you know, it's never going to be a 9 or a 10, but I will say having reread it a few times now, I definitely would like to remind myself to reread it. Like when I just want a beautiful love story, like I think this is one of those ones that I want to go to.
Oh, for sure. And I think that if you might have a connection, like you've had a lost love, a long lost love, or a star-crossed lover sort of situation, or any other things that might make you as a person feel closer to Lion or Olivia, that you really might think this book is a 10. Like, I can really see a lot of people loving this book or disliking this book. I think this book could be really polarizing. But I think you and I both found that reading this book multiple times makes it a much better experience.
'Tis a fine wine.
It is. It really is. What a cool thing for a book. And oh my gosh, we did it.
We did it. 11 books later. We have done it, Zoe.
We have. It's so cool. Well, my goodness. It's been great. And I want to talk about the whole series and you want to talk about the whole series. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that, listeners. Just we're going to do it in a separate episode. And that episode is going to be dun, 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 next week.
Woohoo!
So next episode, we are going to be talking about our Pennyroyal Green series while it's fresh in our mind. We're going to go back over our books. We're going to try to scrounge up all of our book ratings.
Oh, God.
And see what ranked highest. And if we still agree with that after going through the whole series, we'll kind of talk about our reflections of going through a whole series together. And we'll also be talking about the next series we're going to tackle.
Yes. Whatever that series may be.
Correct. We have not decided. We're going to try to decide on air live. We'll see how that goes. And we're also going to be answering your questions. So that next episode is going to be our Pennyroyal revisit and our Ask a Strumpet episode. We're so excited to get to your questions. We were so happy to receive them. And yeah, I can't wait to share.
Yes, we are very much looking forward to it.
So thank you all so much for listening. Please, if you have a moment and you're liking what you're hearing, we would love it if you would rate us or give us a review, subscribe to us on YouTube, etc. We love your support. So see you all next time as we revisit our whole Pennyroyal Green series.
And may all your ever afters end happily.
Tea and Strumpets is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. Hi, and welcome to Tea and Strumpets, a Regency romance review. You know what? Hold on a second. There is a jet flying over, and it's really loud. So just for the beginning line, I'll take it over.
Okie dokie.
We can just keep it rolling, but this jet will leave eventually.
Hopefully.
God, it's very loud.
I can hear it.
Yeah. It's still going.
What are they doing? Just circling around your house?
Like, you know, we have the marine base near us.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of bases near you. There's the naval one. There's the marine one. There's also just the airport.
Yes. And we have like a mini airport near us. I can't remember the name of it, but it has a whole bunch of like propeller planes that fly over our house all the time. Anyhow. All right.
Here we go.
I think we're good. Yes. Once more.